He is Robin Leach. He is Jada Mark, and this is Car Keys.
And I'm going to start out with a title to a two-minute diatribe, which is going to be, the heading is, Grab a Turbo, if you can afford it. And that relates directly to the... It's not a tirade.
Okay.
It's just a definitive suggestion to Jeep Cherokee owners for the new 2019 Jeep Cherokee. If they can afford to get the turbo motor option, they should do so, because it is sensational. I'm not going to trade. I have a firsthand at no comments. I have a firsthand report of a weekend use of a Turbo Cherokee, and I have it on my iPhone that I drove 260 miles or so and got 33 miles to the gallon, with all kinds of driving ranging from 75 miles an hour down 95 on the coast of Connecticut, through the back roads of Connecticut and New York to Cross River and up 22 to home. And that is a topper for any Cherokee highway driving that is on the road today with the three engines that are available.
It's all gas, right?
New. What?
It's all gas.
All gas, yes. It's all gas. Jeep vehicles, SUVs, are not particularly fuel efficient, which is why I'm bringing this up on this show. Everybody knows that generally. But as smaller engines have been going into these all levels of vehicles to get more mileage per gallon rating features or capabilities on these cars, whether they're big or small, and we'll go to this later about that part of the situation. Car makers have been making remarkable strides forward in getting small engines to put out better mileages in cars that are not aerodynamically as efficient as we know the sedan level cars are.
Hey, anybody remember the Volvo turbos, the 740 and the 760?
I don't, because I never had one. But
I did.
Okay.
And
let's
I
have
did.
Jay pipe up. Okay, go ahead.
No, just because it was the 740s were four-cylinder, but yeah, they were turbo.
Yeah.
And they were, I thought, tremendous.
They were
I don't know about the fuel efficiency factor, but I just know about, I'm going about the Cherokee, and we can go on to that in a minute.
Okay.
Just because I've got firsthand experience with it. It was rated 2129 on the sticker of the vehicle. That's city highway. It's doing exceptionally better, which is now happening with many levels of cars now than the stickers.
Did they change the direction of the numbers? Didn't it used to be highway city?
No.
Okay.
No, the first one was always highway, then it was a city, and then it was a highway, and then there was a mixture.
Okay.
And it's 24 is a mixture in this vehicle.
Okay.
But the whole thing is, we have talked, or I have, and I think Jay has chimed in a couple times, where smaller engines are not necessarily more fuel efficient than larger engines in a similar size vehicle or a similar vehicle line of cars. Until recently, that has changed probably. But when I had an Audi A8 and I took it in for service and had a A4 for a service loaner, I could get better mileage on my front-wheel drive Audi A8, this is back last century, on the same route than I could get with the old four-cylinder Audi A4 engines of the similar year model. And the Audi A8 is a big car. The A4 was a then compact car. And the whole idea with smaller engines back then was that they get better mileage than the bigger engines too. And that was before we all got very conscious about
fuel efficiency.
So this new engine is going to really, it not only got great mileage for that particular route I took,
but
the performance
is—it's
zippy, exactly.
And that's why I'm asking.
It's not lightning fast like the Tesla electrics and that kind of thing. But Jay will agree, at least at this point, that nobody's going lightning fast from stoplight to stoplight, and you don't need that. But as far as the performance of this engine goes, it certainly outperforms the non-turbo four-cylinder, which is a larger engine in the Cherokee.
Which is what you have, yes.
Which is what I have.
And all I'm trying to say.
And it certainly outperforms the V6 in terms of acceleration and passing capabilities. Plus, it beats them all with the mileage. And I like the Cherokee. I'm an unabashed, really strong
I like the old
proponent
ones
of it. I like the new one. And Jay, I think he got a little bit impressed, but I haven't gotten him into the truck yet to have
what
a
truck?
Real drive.
So let me step in here.
Yeah, he's been waiting.
I was about to read an article about those turbo engines this morning and didn't get a chance to. So I'd like to revisit more in depth that whole subject of four-cylinder engines and turbos
later.
At a future date.
Yes,
but
we will do
it
that.
Is there
we
has
continue
been
continue till
yeah there's always next week. There has been great changes in four-cylinder turbo engines. Some manufacturers, and we've mentioned that, have only that one engine in their engine lineup. Volvo is one of them, has a 2-liter four-cylinder, and that's it. They put turbochargers, superchargers. The technology in turbochargers is evolving. We're talking about electrifying the turbochargers. Gets very complicated, and it's certainly worthy of more discussions. We have found some car manufacturers in turbo engines don't actually match EPA mileage ratings. I think the Ford EcoBoosts are among that category. But I'll be very careful on the whole subject, and we can revisit it. But I think what I'd like to step right into is to say that
the rotating knives?
Combustion engines are just totally a thing of the past, and we need to look at the future and electric vehicles. 2040 is a long way away.
Well, no one knows what you're looking at, so just read that.
Rolls-Royce to rely on electric by 2040 as time runs out for 12-cylinder engines.
Right. And that's Financial Times.
It's a Financial Times, and it's in little print, and my glasses are not well-adjusted.
The electric cars are rolling towards us, just to interject before we let Jay continue. And by 2040, we may not have a lot of combustion engines still around. And Jay is certainly heading towards, you know, being a proponent of all electric vehicles. I still will say there will be a certain number of people who won't want to have electric vehicles, and those will be long-distance cruisers unless they have practically instant rechargeability, and charging stations are up all the dead-end road valleys in the California mountains when you're going to the gold country off the main roads or any other remote place like the Rubicon Trail.
I've got two questions. They're from two totally different sides of the brain. First question: Was there not at the very beginning of autodom some electric cars?
Yep, it certainly was.
Okay.
Way back in the 1900s, there were electric vehicles.
Well, technology has evolved and is evolving constantly.
I'm not saying it's bad. I'm just saying that
we had dirt roads and we had little villages, and nobody tried to travel from New York to California. In the 1920s when electric cars were around, or 30s, whenever they were around.
But there were electric cars.
Yes, there were.
This is an evolution of something that has existed.
Let
Jay continue.
Let me continue with an anecdote about electric cars. Last weekend was a big race weekend at Lime Rock Park. A lot of internal combustion engines, a lot of fuel going into race cars. One of my good friends was here. He's a professional race car driver. And he just purchased his second Tesla Model S, and so I looked a little bit more into Tesla. I know that Robin has this thing about Elon Musk going in every which direction, but the fact of the matter is Tesla is a significant company and has given a certain direction to the entire industry.
Absolutely,
whether they survive in the end or not. In my mind, is irrelevant. But back to my friend, he drives a Model S, and he traded his first one in because he wanted the autopilot. Now, this is a guy who is a driver, drives professionally, teaches driving, and is a firm believer in autonomous driving, and has gone on trips where he drives up to 75 miles without ever touching the wheel on his Tesla.
What does he do in the meantime? Does he watch video? Does he?
I don't know. Maybe
that would have been a good question.
I would be really curious because
he relaxes. He says on medium trips, he now is willing to take his car versus flying.
But he's a professional driver.
Yes, he's a professional driver.
And the reason that I mention that is I am seeing the ravages of of kids who have grown up with a bunch of screens that don't, not a professional driver, but who don't know how things work, just in terms of focus. So that's
I'd like to get back to that at a later point, okay. I have said before on this show, I think that a lot of it is in the educational process, and I think that driving autonomous cars is going to require new skills and new training, new approaches, and a new set of standards. And we all need, I mean, if we're going to drive, if these cars are going to be on the road,
then people need to learn to drive them, and they need to learn how to drive them.
Kids who've never driven quote unquote real cars. And us older people who
have driven real cars.
Quote, and are maybe a little reluctant to go down that
but
road.
But I'm not talking about good. I'm just talking about a certain amount of focus and attention paying that has been abrogated in so many areas that needs to be reinstated, if you will. This is years ago. Kid went for his first hike in Colorado with his cell phone, you know, photographing the walk.
Yeah.
There's got to be some sort of connection to the actual walk, is all I'm saying.
Well, all that the Jay has said is correct. The issue that's going on right now with the problems of electric cars and self-driving is that, you know, every day there are hundreds of accidents in combustion cars, fully drivered by drivers, and they're going to be doing that all the time, and we don't even hear about it in the news, unless there's a massive kill that comes from it. The electric cars are being touted as self-driving, and you get one accident, and it's emblazoned across every periodical. The next day's news, and it makes it look like it's a disaster in the making to have self-driving cars coming on the road.
So, by the way, we've just gone down the discussion of associating electric cars with autonomous cars.
And we got Cadillac with combustion cars, and they've got self-driving in it, and so does the Audis and all that.
I'd like to leave autonomous cars to the side for a little, for a while, and get back to electric cars. Even though I think what makes Tesla a unique company, as far as being a car manufacturer, is I think three things. They're obviously their technology in the electric field is unrivaled as of yet, and others are catching up quickly. They do have probably what is the most advanced autonomous system on the market right now. That will also change because others are coming with level 3, 4s, and 5s of autonomous driving. And I think the biggest change that we seldom talk about is Tesla is plowing the road ahead as far as changing franchise laws and the whole concept of dealers that we find in the automotive industry and only in the automotive industry. And it's the distribution model that is changing slowly and changing state to state, and Tesla is finding roadblocks in some states where they're not allowed to sell directly to the consumer.
To Jay's point, and I think, Jay, you might agree or not, about why this is going to probably change and come on more strongly than it currently is electric cars do not need the same kind of periodic maintenance that I know of that combustion engine cars do. And therefore, the dealer situation is going to be brought to attention when there is no service department. There's never going to be no service department, but then when service departments aren't required the way you have to. Now you go every so many thousand miles and you get an oil change. With that, you get another lubrication, you get an air cabin filter and that kind of thing. With electric cars, you probably have cabin filters and that kind of thing, but there's no oil. So you don't have to go there.
You still have tires and
you
brakes.
You've got tires to change and all that, but you can go to your local tire rack and get them on.
They also have mobile mobile units. You see little Ford Transit Connects with Tesla logos on them, and they go from customer to customer.
Why don't they have Tesla little mobiles?
That's a good question. Let me get back to Tesla. And again, I went off track again for the second time. Now let me get back to Tesla. I think, and I looked at you know, the Tesla's history, the financials, their model, their product line. We all know the problems plaguing well, we don't all know, but we know that there are a lot of problems associated with the Model 3. And yet, so we've read those articles. Robin, I think, can comment on the quality control issues or the quality issues that Tesla is having with the Model 3. We know they have production issues.
Are they having quality issues as well?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Undeniable. But they are. And one would wonder, well, why can they not produce a well-built car with the Model 3 when they actually did that with the Model S? It's a good question, and I think they're just scrambling. The levels of production are just not the same. They're looking at producing 500,000 cars in the next 18 months, right. And that window is actually should be shrinking, and they're just never going to get there.
In my beady little mind.
To Jay's point about that, and he and I have been having a dialogue about it, so I was coming to the broadcast booth this morning, I was thinking, where else has a company tried to do something really neat like Tesla and failed miserably? Well, in my garage, there is a 1974 Bricklin automobile.
Yeah, but there's no comparison.
And no, there's no comparison
there's no
to
comparison.
Tesla. But the problem was they tried to build a very interesting car, and they failed because of quality. And they couldn't get the quality together to solve the issue. We'll go back to Jay.
Okay, because what I was interested in vis Tesla is they've actually got they've got the product that they're absolutely ahead on, in my view.
And they
That's
are now.
The S. Yeah. Right?
That's the S.
And so what I'm curious about, this is just me, I would stick to the S. And why don't you?
Very good point. So
because it was a cost factor, you wanted to bring it.
But you're going to bring people around.
That they wanted to, he wanted to bring a more cost, affordably model to the masses as opposed to the $80,000 and up S.
He made
promises that he couldn't keep, and this is where Jay and I differ a little bit. Jay says it's all going to work out. I say you got 500,000 orders sitting there, and we don't see him ever getting 100,000 made a year. Than that, and that's where he's got to fix it.
Back to Jill's point and question. Yes, the Tesla Model 3 never was a model for the masses. Okay, it's not a Model T Ford of modern era. It is a more affordable Tesla, but it is still a luxury vehicle. It is associated with Audi A4s, with BMW 3 Series. So the idea that it was going to be an affordable electric car for the masses is just totally ludicrous. And to that point, you know, yes, the starting point was $35,000. We know today that Tesla cannot make money on a Model 3 if it's sold for anywhere less than $50,000. They need those options to make money. And they're going to build $50,000 Teslas. Now, if you look at $50,000 Teslas, they're not far off the average price for an American, for a new car here in America. The average new price for a new car is $36,000. It's upscale. It just is upscale. The idea that it was going to be affordable to everyone is just
the idea was going to be mass market. Seems like they didn't ask me.
Well, obviously. The problem really is with the publicity. Tesla. I mean, Elon Musk could have saved a lot of personal problems he's having with it if he just said this car isn't going to be able to be right off the bat. He could have figured out that it wasn't going to be produced at the rate that was going to make $500,000 instant orders reachable. To within a time frame in which many of them might not go. Would you wait 5 years?
I absolutely wouldn't wait 5 years, but I just want to say that
the old press agent it may take 5 years to deliver 500,000 cars, and we wouldn't be harping on the situation
Editor-in-chief of Car and Driver, and those guys have driven a lot of Teslas and other cars, pretty much everything on the market, has $1,000 down on a Tesla 3 and is more than willing to wait for the car. Because like he says, and like my friend who drives a Tesla says, we've actually driven the car. We know what we're talking about.
And what I want to say is, you know, this is a complicated thing, not because of cars, but because of the way information is purveyed to people at this point. So
And the press. Yeah, the press would make or break the car company.
There's a hype.
Because they don't understand it either.
Look at compare Tesla for a second to Apple. Apple, 15, 20 years ago, before the launch of the iPhone, was a high-tech company. I'm not so sure it was all that profitable, and it was at some point certainly overvalued. It's the most...
Yeah, now it's on its way to being a trillion-dollar company. I just want to point out to both of you that there are 4 minutes left, so figure out how we're going to...
There's more Tesla to come right here.
Go right ahead.
The product line includes, and you've discussed this before, you know, why do they bring a truck to the market? And I've thought about this. Are they really going to bring a truck to market? Possibly or possibly not. But interestingly, I came across an article that you might have seen in one of the car mags as well, is truck companies these days, truck manufacturers, are building what they call gliders, trucks with no power plants, because the rules and regulations are such that trucking companies can retrofit older engines in new trucks because it allows them to avoid all these
repower
existing old trucks.
So I've thought about it. Who says, you know, it's very likely that Tesla will just supply a power plant to a bunch of existing truck manufacturers, and that would be fine. And yes, they have limited range too, but a bunch of trucks don't need to go 700 miles a day.
Okay.
If you're
But my only beef about this, to keep continue the beef part, is that it all has to do with this Model 3 dilemma of getting the cars out, is that he's been sidetracking the reality of facing the issues that he has to face to get those cars on the road by having all sorts of fancy new other products to get everybody dreaming about while he's having problems getting the Model 3 out on the road. And let's get one thing going well before you start adding 10 other things that you can't produce at anywhere near major production rates because you don't have the plants to produce the trucks and all the other things he's doing.
And semi to that position, just going back to the press and a survey, because remember I said I've got two things, two different sides of the brain. One of the things that came up in the most recent survey to consumers about electric, which I was struck by, is the amount of range mileage that they want to be comfortable with.
Range is increasing.
And it is.
Every month.
And so
batteries are getting quicker charging and all that, okay?
To your position, which is like, this will be fine after X. I just want you to say.
This will be fine after there are thousands of charging stations on every side roads, as well as the major transportation byways, okay?
So I have two points. One, to that point, the network infrastructure, there are 33,000 public charging stations in this country. There are over 100,000 in Europe and 150,000 in China. We can compare Europe here. China is a much bigger country, larger, more people. But there are three times more charging stations in Europe. When we build this infrastructure, we will see more electric cars. And by the way, Volkswagen is reinvesting. Part of their commitment is building electric charging stations.
Because you want everything
in the
on the production.
In countries, people aren't going from country to country on a daily basis the way we go from state to state, coast to coast.
They aren't?
No, they aren't. They're driving in Belgium. Belgium's, how big is Belgium in relation to?
They go everywhere. What are you talking about?
I don't know. My friend Morella starts out in Curling.
It's just like here, but how far do most of us actually drive?
Well, I'm just saying that we drive differently in the U.S., or a lot more of us do than do in Europe, and therefore that's where I say there isn't the infrastructure ready there to make electric cars totally viable as 100% of a vehicle to have as opposed to combustion engines alternatives.
Fair enough.
Oh, gosh, I'm going to stop. He is Robin Leach. He is Jay DeMarkin. This is Car Keys.